Good morning, everyone. Oh, this is a glorious start to 2019. Look at our church. They're in the back, standing and in the narthex. This is wonderful. And I'm not even kidding. I mean, this is wonderful. I can't wait to brag to the other priests. As soon as I'm done, I'm calling one, I know. My friends, I open with, I wish all of you a blessed new year, filled with joy and peace and harmony and unity. And may God give you a reasonable portion of good health and joy and laughter. Amen? Amen. Friends, this day, January 1st, has been home to a number of great feasts. It is, first of all, the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos. This is the eldest feast of Mary in the Western Church. It used to be the feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, the naming of Jesus, and it is the date of the oldest feast of the circumcision of Jesus. This is why we hear at the end, and when the 8 days were completed, because people wonder, well, how did that get in there? Well, that's because it used to be, there used to be a feast on that occasion. And my friends, regarding that, the feast, regarding the religious rite of circumcision 8 days after his birth, this religious act, there are no coincidences with God. This religious act unites Mary's child with God, his chosen people, and makes him an heir to the promises made to Abraham and all of his descendants, promises to be fulfilled by this child himself. This is a mystery to ponder when we think about it. That is the God we have, a God of great surprises always. My friends, this also is what we know as a World Day of Prayer for Peace. So you see, there's a whole bundle of things happening on this first day. And for a great many of people, it is New Year's Day, a day those many people reflect on the past year. And then they begin to make resolutions, mostly short-lived, and custom as it is. Many spend the day wondering regarding resolutions, what to do. What will I do? And I was watching the news early this morning, and they had people saying what they're going to do. What they're going to do. Oh my, some of them. It's like, oh my. What is your life like, really, if you have to make resolutions like that? Huh? But God love them. Huh? My friends, oddly enough, the gospel tells us that at this time of the year, meaning in the scripture, we're given a particular time, Christmas. Mary was also pondering and thinking, but in a totally different way than what I have been kind of making light of. She, we're told, was reflecting upon many things in her heart. She was pondering things she heard the shepherds say about her child. And my friends, make note. She has always believed. She never doubted. The shepherds, only after they come and see, do they believe. See, the angel spoke to them. Go and you'll find the Savior of the world. Oh, okay. And then we're told they saw and believed. When the angel spoke to Mary, let it be done. Okay. My friends, she pondered all these things, but in this instance, the shepherds come and tell them about the angel. Another translation from the Greek reads that she was treasuring these things in her heart. What things was she treasuring? Just one sentence, really. The angels told the shepherds this: today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. This is what she treasured. This is what she was pondering. This line, this one line from Luke 2:11, speaks of the good news of the entire Gospels, all of them combined. A Savior has been born who is Lord and Messiah. Jesus is our Savior, and Jesus is our Lord. It is these amazing definitions of her child: Savior, Lord, King, that Mary reflects upon and that Mary treasures in her heart. And friends, later the church will keep these amazing definitions that Mary pondered and treasured as the centerpiece of its creed, our profession of faith, which we will do today. For it is Jesus, and this becomes very important, for it is Jesus and Him only that God set forth as expiation through faith by His blood for our sins. Romans 3:25. He alone is the world's Savior, and there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are saved. Acts 4:12. My friends, this becomes important because as I was going through the channels, some very odd things were being put forth on this day. And as I said, He is the only one. There is no salvation through anyone else. There is no other name under heaven by the human race which we are to be saved. Jesus Christ is the only Savior, for He is the Son of God. He is God. And there is only one God, Creator of heaven and earth, the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And although today I was hearing put forth that all religions are equal, the reality and the truth of it is that is not true. They are not all equal. Scriptures teach us that Jesus the Christ, the only begotten one, the Son of God, revealed this reality to the world, that all are not equal. Thus, believing in Him and following Him and hoping in Him is not the same as following Buddha, or the same as following Confucius, or the same as following Mohammed, or any other figure you would like to put forth. Certainly, do not misunderstand, certainly Mother Church teaches we should have respect for all who have other beliefs, but we respect them because Christ revealed that all are created in God's image. You understand what I'm putting forth to you? We don't have to disrespect other people. In fact, we respect them because God is their Father also. And they are created in His image and loved by the Father and redeemed by the Son. Well, they won't say that because Jesus, this is what we believe. And I don't want you to ever doubt it or to make excuses for it. My friends, it is because, referring to Jesus, it is because of His faithful obedience to God's will in our regard, what He did for us, that God exalts Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, as Lord of heaven and earth. Therefore, let us, the whole house of Israel, Israel means us now, I'm not talking about the nation Israel on the other side of the globe. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Messiah, Acts 2:36. And this Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord. Thus, of Mary, we would not say that she is an instrument of salvation, for that is the Lord God Jesus. But we must, I'm using that word deliberate, we must say of Mary that she is the Theotokos. Deacon, would you like to tell them that word? He's Lebanese, he's from the East, so he knows, Theotokos. Literally, roughly translated, God-bearer, the mother of God. We must say, Mary of Nazareth, she is the mother of God. She is the mother of our Savior. Therefore, she is the mother of salvation. Amen? This is the original and the fundamental Christian truth that has become lost. I watched it on all the international channels today and mixed in with all the resolutions. I resolved to do this and I resolved to do that. You resolve to go and give God glory. Start your year that way. Mary becomes a model of this truth that is being put forth. What truth? The Son of God come down to earth. Mary is the model of this. For as the scriptures tell us, Elizabeth, her cousin, said at the greeting by her cousin Mary, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? A mother of my Lord. And in Old Testament, the Lord means only one thing. God. How is it that the mother of my God has come to visit me? And truly, she, Mary, alone is the mother of the Son of God, as the church teaches. Mary is pure, Mary is full of grace, and Mary is a virgin. And thus, her flesh and her flesh alone. Oh, I'm driving at home. Her flesh alone. Jesus, the Son of Mary, and the Son of God. Remember, Mary's a virgin. She didn't need a man for that. She had God's grace. With regards to paying homage and honor, as many of our other Christian denominations have trouble with this and struggle with this and question this. With regards to paying honor, does not the Holy Scriptures tell us to do so? Moses gave us the law, the Ten Commandments, and the fourth one says, honor your father. Glory to God. And honor your mother, that your days may be long. Does not the Scripture say that? Then are we not commanded? Oh, but wait a minute. How do we know that's our mother? Scripture has this. At the cross, Jesus said, woman. How do we know who he's talking about? Because we are told his mother Mary is at the cross with him, along with the other Mary. And the other Mary. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Our Lord spoke these words to St. John the Beloved, the evangelist. In doing so, our Lord gave Mary to him and by extension to our church and to all of its members. She is your mother. So says Jesus, not me and not the Pope. So says Jesus. Subsequently, this statement also makes the Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, our mother. My friends, this is what's perplexing to a Catholic priest, that the other Christians understand God comes down to earth, is made incarnate of the woman. They can call her the woman, and no problem, because Revelation refers to the woman. Jesus refers to her the same way. Woman, what does this have? Go to the book of Revelation and see the woman clothed in the sun with the moon at her feet. It's describing Mary, who has to go into the desert, Egypt, that her son be protected. Book of Revelations refers, he is Lord and Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God, not the Father, not the Holy Spirit, but God. Yes, they say, yes. Thus, Mary, Jesus is her son. And Jesus is who? Savior, Lord, Messiah. Thus, the Son of God. So Mary must be the Theotokos. I don't know how you escape that. I don't know how you run away from that. They must at least assent to that. Of course, then I'd throw back the Ten Commandments. If she then is your mother, should you not honor her? Is that not what we are doing today? Yeah, Father Mark had too much espresso this morning. He was watching a little too much news and TV because he got all uppity about what people were saying. I watched one of the Protestant stations struggling with saying even her name. But everything, my friends, every title there was much confusion about all the titles given to Mary, but in fact they are often misunderstood even by our own. A good rule of thumb is that any title of Mary says more about Jesus than it does about Mary. Mary is the God-bearer. What does that mean? That means she's the mother of our Lord. You know, oh, then we have to go into that. What is all that? You see what I'm saying? The title is more about Jesus than it is about her. And that is the case today where we celebrate the solemnity of Mary, the mother of God. I know people often, how can God, who exists from all eternity, have a mother? Well, in the same way, I would say, how is it that God can die on the cross? Yeah, I should stop before I get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble. My friends, when faced with the infant mystery of God become man, this is a great mystery before us. Mary holds the example. Mary holds it close to her very core, safe in the center of her heart, reflecting upon it. Mary bore the divine within her womb and gave birth to Jesus the Christ. As such, she must be called the Theotokos, the Mother of God. The divine has come to us as one of us, born of a woman. Our faith teaches us then that humanity is now sacred because of it. We must treat each other and all of God's creation, knowing that the divine has been infused into our world in a very unique way. God, for all time now, is not far, but one like us. And because of that, he understands all things. He does anyway. But when creation hurts and is desecrated and is disrespected, so is God, who has infused himself into our very existence and being. Amen. Thank you for coming and giving honor to God and honor to the Mother of God and to your Mother, Mary.